Today's interview has the title, Why All Religions Are Not the Same. And we're aware that this has the potential to be a bit of a controversial topic. So just as we start, I just want to say that this is a safe space and that no one will judge you, whatever view you hold. I'll be interviewing Dev Kamal and Kabir Hussain, who have had a variety of different faith experiences in their lives. So we'll hear something about their life stories very soon. But just before we invite them up, I thought it would be great to see a couple of sentences off Jesus' lips that have been particularly significant for them in their lives. So if you wouldn't mind just grabbing one of the Johns on your table, it's just an account of Jesus' life written by one of his friends. And just flick to page 8. You might have heard these before. Towards the bottom of page 8, just at the start of the paragraph there, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." And then a little bit later, chapter 14, verse 6, so page 43, where you can see the little number 6 there. Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." We'll hear a bit more about those sentences from Jesus in just a moment. So Dev and Kabir, if you wouldn't mind joining me up here, that'd be fab. Thank you so much for coming in today. And I believe you're both Christians. And you've also personally experienced different religions in the past. So we'll be really interested to hear your insights, as I guess most people in the world probably haven't had the insider experience of being part of different faith groups. So let's start maybe not right at the beginning, but towards the beginning. Could each of you share a little bit about your childhood and what life was like for you growing up? Deb, would you be able to kick us off?
Yeah, sure. Okay. So. Hello? Testing. Oh, I'll just speak really loud. I'm going to try and give you guys...
Tech expert here. There we go.
Green light?
Yeah.
Sounds good. So for me growing up, I'm going to try and give you guys like a really VR kind of like view of what my parents' house was like, for instance. So like, as soon as you walk in, you'd have like two shrines, one to your left, one to the right. You'd have another shrine as you walk into the living room, and as you go straight ahead into our garden, my dad's kind of built a little mini temple in the garden as well. So you can kind of see there's a lot of stuff to worship in our house, and on Fridays often we'd worship a shrine that he's built in his bedroom. We'd recite the names of gods, we'd pray, and my dad's quite a devout Hindu, and he's so devout that, like, for instance, if I was scratching my nose during prayers, he'd often tell me off, or if I was quite sleepy, he'd tell me off. So it was quite serious for him. So growing up for us, we'd do a lot of things like we wouldn't eat meat on Tuesdays and Fridays, we'd go to the temple every Friday. We'd observe certain festivals, we'd often fast as well. So, you know, my dad really made it a thing for all of us to really take Hinduism seriously. Me being the oldest son, he'd want me to really learn as much as I can about Hinduism, so I'd often read the books with him. And he'd really planned it for me to sort of, you know, grow up with Hinduism in my life, to practice it really well. He'd often want me to carry that on if I had my own children and family. So, yeah, a very kind of strict Hindu life. And I guess his goal for me was to, you know, grow up and take Hinduism seriously. And the typical kind of Asian thing of, having a nice job, a good job, and a nice house, a nice car. Those are kind of the things that he wanted me to really achieve in my life, I guess, growing up. But really for him, the main thing was to really keep my faith in Hinduism and really kind of carry that on. Yeah.
Yes, I think for me it was somewhat different. I grew up with a culturally Hindu mother and a culturally Islamic father, but my mum and dad separated when I was very young, so it was my mum that raised myself and my older siblings. And there was a lot of like Hindu influences there, but it wasn't as prescriptive. It was more just sort of modeling prayers and various other things like that. And as I grew up, I was exposed to a lot of different religions, but I never really subscribed or practiced any religion. And my mum wasn't as prescriptive. I think in Asian families, they tend to be quite prescriptive over religion and jobs and everything else like that. My mum wasn't as prescriptive, so she gave us the sort of freedom to do what we wanted to do, what we wanted to believe. And I pretty much grew up, quite a challenging childhood, especially with our father and back in that time and whatnot, but I grew up largely agnostic, I would say. So I sort of believed in something, but I didn't want to subscribe to any religion or, certainly not what my mum believed or what my father believed, and yeah, sort of rebelling in that respect.
Great, thanks very much. Kabir, if you could carry on. When was it that things started to change for you?
Yeah, so it started to change in my 20s. So I lived a life sort of striving to achieve everything I could. And it was all about me. And I worked in quite a few good jobs, got quite a lot of money. And yeah, life was going swimmingly well. And everything was just going fantastic. And then I went through a few months of unemployment. And in that time, I think it gave me a lot of time to just reflect over what am I actually aiming for, what am I achieving. I saw just how futile things are. You know, if you don't have what you can get, you want it, and if you do have it, you always want more. And it's just this sort of circular pattern that just never is just relentless and whatnot. And I remember having a drink with my friend. We've known each other for about 12 or 13 years at that point, and he was a Christian. We've known each other since high school, and I remember sort of sharing my thoughts with him about challenges and reflections and whatnot. And I remember him saying that he went through something very similar, and it was his faith in God that sort of got him through that time. And he sort of showed me the gospel at that point, and I said to him that I'll take it up, I'll look into it. But I sort of was very firm that I'm not going to be converted, I'm not going to be preached to, but I will look into, you know, what is this faith that you have and whatnot. And he sort of gave me direction, and I took on that and started reading the gospel. And when I started reading the gospel, I realized how little I actually knew of Christianity. I mean, I was very much educated from the world around me rather than actually what the gospel said. And I remember thinking just how radical this God of the Bible is and the gospel is and Jesus is. And I remember actually the verse that you read at the beginning, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I think that really stuck with me because it's just so different. You've got a God who loves and has given his son so that we can have a relationship with him. And that latter part, have eternal life, I think that's when the stakes really got high, because then at that point, I'm thinking, it's no longer an academic exercise. I was thinking, if this is true, if this God is real, if the gospel is true, that those stakes are very, very high. And it's not something to take for granted. It's not something to sort of pass over. So I think, from that point, it became less of an academic exercise of saying to my friend, you know, I lived up to my word, I looked into this, and I know X, Y, Z. And more of, do I actually believe this? And is this actually true? And I think over the next few months or so, I was scribbling down things I disagreed with. How does this make sense? What is that about? Asked a lot of questions, did a lot of research. And I think over the period of quite a few months, I think that's when, things really changed. I can't really put on like a specific date on it, but things really changed over that period. I remember praying a few times and asking God, I'm saying, if you're real, can you reveal yourself to me and show me how this makes sense and whatnot. I think that's when things changed. And I think seven months later from that first pub trip that we did, I was confident that I was a Christian at that point. Yeah. Yeah.
Great, thanks for sharing. And how about you, Deb? When was it that things started to change for you after growing up in such a strict Hindu family?
Yeah, long story short, so when I went to university, I kind of gave up on Hinduism. I kind of, you know, so I did philosophy at university, so you can tell a bit of a nerd when I'm reading. So I read like Nietzsche and Bertrand Russell, the kind of real atheists, the wannabes like Richard Dawkins, and I kind of really started getting into grips with atheism. And I kind of realized actually atheism actually itself can't be lived out, because it's quite a very hard way to look at the world, look at life. So from there, a friend of mine challenged me and said, look, you know, if you call yourself an atheist, you can't really say that you haven't looked into the other world religions, and kind of concluded from that what they're saying about God is whether it's true or not. So, you know, me being the nerd that I am, I started reading into the different world religions. And yeah, just, you know, kind of, wouldn't say I did this kind of disciple thing, but came to just sort of realize that Jesus actually is quite a controversial figure. When you compare him to other religious figures, a lot of the things he says is very kind of countercultural. It's very kind of absolute statements. It kind of really cuts through into like what you believe a lot of the time about the world. And then I met a colleague of mine at work. We started learning martial arts together. So we learned like Filipino martial arts. So if anyone wants to know more about that, just come find me after. And we would. You could picture it, like we're in the garden doing Filipino martial arts, and every now and then you would start talking about Jesus. which was annoying at the time, but I kind of appreciated him doing that. And just kind of through that, he kind of broke me down more and more, and he would just encourage me to read the Bible. And then I think it was a point where he shared this thing about God and second chances. And that really struck me, because I think I was at a point in my life where a lot was just going wrong, and I was just really struggling to put things together. And then when I heard there's a God that kind of forgives everything that you've done, and there's not much I can do, but he just really gives this gift, you know, like Jesus comes and dies for me, even though I don't deserve it, I've not done anything. Yeah, it really just got me thinking, wow, like, this is something I've never heard about from other religions. So I think at that moment I just kind of called out to God, investigate the Bible like you. I couldn't really just accept it, I had to investigate, being the nerd that I am, and start looking into the history, spoke to other Christians, etc. And yeah, like I couldn't really pick a point, but it's only when I came really clearer and more clearer and clearer on the gospel, which is the good news of what Jesus is saying, that I came to realize, wow, this is so fundamental to the big questions that I think we all ask, and actually Jesus is able to really give you some really clear answers on that. So yeah, I think that's where the change.
Brilliant, thanks so much. And would you be able to just give us some of the differences, or maybe just one big difference? Because I know you tried out a few other religions on the way between atheism and Christianity.
I mean, like, so like I mentioned, my friend challenged me to look into different world religions. And I just came to, like, growing up, I thought all world religions were saying the same thing. That you just live a good life, as long as you don't hurt other people, you're kind, etc., you live a good life, you will die and you go to God. And, you know, deep down, I think a lot of us want that to be true, because we kind of find it. We just kind of want to avoid the awkwardness or the kind of conflict that comes from when we say one religion is true. So I kind of grew up thinking, well, you know, they're all just different roads to one God. But when I started looking into these different world religions, I realized actually they're all saying very different things about who God is, about how to live, about what's right and wrong. They also say very different things about what happens to you after you die. So I'll give you an example. In Hinduism, Hindu back there, so hopefully this is right. In Hinduism, there's a cycle of reincarnation, and in, you know, with Hindu life, your Your dharma is basically the deeds that you do, the way you the duty and the way you serve and love other people. And as you get reincarnated, you're going up the cycle called samsara. And as you work your way up to the cycle of samsara, you get to something, a stage called moksha, where your soul leaves your body, and then you become one with dharma, which is the one God of Hinduism. So that's kind of like what Hindus will say about life after death. Which is very different to what Buddhists will say, that Buddhists will say there is no God. So you just kind of become enlightened, and you become sort of God yourself, or this kind of ethereal being. Which is very different to what Christians and Muslims would believe. We believe in there being one eternal place, which is either heaven, where you're with God, or hell, where you are away from God. And you kind of choose in the sense of where you want to go. So that's kind of one difference. And then what I found quite fascinating was, as I was looking into these world religions, actually Christianity is very distinct in some way, in that a lot of world religions tell you to do things. So like in Islam, you have the five pillars that you have to live out. Or in Buddhism, you have the eight noble truths. Or in Hinduism, as I mentioned, it's about your dharma and karma, relaying that in the next life. But in Christianity, and as Julia read earlier, when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except through me, that's a very absolute cutting statement, right? When you hear it, you're thinking, wow, that's actually really quite arrogant to say. But actually what Jesus is saying there is actually saying that no matter how many sacrifices or prayers or pilgrimages or all these different religious things that you do, you can never really get right with God unless you come to me. And actually, it's not about what you can do, but ultimately what Jesus has done. So that really just like made me think, wow, something quite different about Christianity compared to other religions. But yeah, that's kind of what I studied.
Awesome, thank you very, very much. Now, I know you guys have been Christians for quite some years, and Kabir, when we were chatting the other day, you said that it was maybe the reason why you were living what you were living for that was the main difference for you before being a Christian and after. Can you just tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, so I guess it's the heart behind everything I do and decisions that you make. It's no longer living for myself, living for money and what I can get, but it's living for God and living a life which is like in accordance to what we see in the Bible. Yeah, I think that's what it is, really, sort of the heart behind everything I do.
Awesome. But just to clarify, would that gain you a place in heaven? How does that fit with what Adele is saying just
now?
If Jesus has done it all, then why would you live for God?
It's more of a response to Jesus doing it all, rather than us trying to achieve something. It's almost like trying to make your parents proud and trying to show honour. So it's a response rather than an initiate. Yeah.
Great, thank you. So, final question before Q&A. I guess many city workers in London would say that basically all religions are kind of the same. They're like different ways of getting to God, like you mentioned earlier, Dale. But if you could say one thing to someone who thinks that all religions are the same, then what would you say?
I'd probably say don't listen to me, in the sense of like, I'm sure there's people here with varying views about what you think about God, or you might be an atheist or agnostic. I'm just giving my experience, but I'd probably say like Jesus is making a very strong statement here. And I'd probably encourage you to look at the statement and look at what Jesus is saying for yourself. I'm just giving my experience, but I'll just probably say, take his word and actually ask yourself, is he right? Like, what's the worst that could happen? You know, you can even just read like the first chapter of John's Gospel and ask yourself, is this guy a lunatic? Or actually, has he got something to say that's actually worthwhile looking into? So I'd probably just encourage you to just look at it for yourself, look at what he's saying. Because he's making a very big statement, but no other religious figure actually has made a statement like this. Krishna does it, Muhammad does it, Buddha doesn't make this kind of statement. Jesus is actually really putting himself out there and saying, you know, I am the way. Do you believe that? So I think I'll probably just see the seriousness of that and ask you to just look into that for yourself.
Yeah, I would very much agree with that. And I think going back to John 3:16, that proposition, there's a lot at stake. So it's, if this is true, if you believe what's in the gospel, yeah, there's a lot at stake. So it's worth looking into, it's worth researching and asking questions and whatnot. So.
Great, thank you so much. And if that's you, if you'd like to investigate the claims of Jesus more for yourself, then we'll be starting a Word one-to-one group, so please do get in touch with us or come and chat to me at the end to register your interest, and then we can find a time that's mutually convenient. Feel free to take these books with you as well as the Word one-to-one books, and if you need to head back to the office right now, feel free to do so. If you're able to stay, then we're just going to take a break for about 2 minutes and then we'll be back with Q&A. So if you can stay, do you have a question that you can ask some of these guys? Thanks very much. Looking kind of in terms of personal feeling of assurance as part of a religion, could you maybe Kabir, could you give us a bit of your experiences of different faith groups and how it's felt for you to be part of those different faith groups?
Yeah, so I think something that Dev said before about various different religions is that there's always like you sort of earn your way, you sort of do these various things and you can be right with God, and then you have that sort of hope that, you know, if you did good enough, you hope at the end that you will be rewarded. Whereas I think in Christianity, it's very, very different. Like, as I said before, like, our response and the way in which we act is based on what God has already done. And whilst we do hope, we also have that assurance that, yeah, we will have eternal life because the work isn't dependent on us, it's dependent on God and what God has already done for us. And I think that's something that sets Christianity apart as well, that it's God initiating, God coming down, wanting to be in a relationship for us and working for that, and it's us responding to that rather than the other way around.
Great, thank you. Yeah, thanks. For Dev, you grew up in quite a strict Hindu family, and you were sharing about how your dad really wanted you to continue in his faith. So how did that factor into your decision making as you became a Christian, and how did that kind of turn out?
Thanks. If I'm being honest, it was really hard. You always want to make your parents proud. It was hard because obviously rejecting Hinduism was like rejecting my dad or my parents, but also rejecting community. It's not just your family, you're kind of integrated into a massive community of different families and people. That was really, really hard. I think, at first my dad sort of didn't take it seriously. He just thought it was just a little phase. He thought being Hindu, Christianity was under Hinduism. But when I kind of explained to him just how different it is and how seriously I was taking this, it was just a massive struggle. We didn't speak for years, actually, because he just really couldn't handle it. So it was really tough. But at the same time, when it comes to these big moments in your life where, a lot's at stake, like you were saying, you have to hold on to that truth. Despite what it costs. I think following Jesus will cost a lot. And amazingly, I still love my parents, I still love my family, I haven't left my culture. I love the food, I love the movies, even if they're doing a movie, I still love having them stuff. And it's not like I've separated from them. And amazingly, me and my dad, we have started speaking again, and just like a lot of he loves that. We really get on, and he respects that, I'm a Christian now. I think sometimes it takes time, but there is definitely a cost. Even with my mom, she came to my baptism, 6 years ago, which I was like amazed, because that's such a big thing. They kind of understood, this is what I choose to believe. And they just, I mean, as parents, they love me for that.
You looked into lots of different religions, and there's loads of different opinions out there, but you plucked for Christianity in the end. What was it that made you think that this is definitely the truth?
I knew this question would come up, so yeah, that's a big, big question. I think people spend their whole lives on a journey trying to understand that. I kind of mentioned it earlier, like, it's not a caricature, but when you do look at all world religions, a lot of the, one thing that's kind of common with most world religions, other than Christianity, is that they do tell you to do specific things to get to God. They tell you specific things in terms of what's right and wrong. And when I started looking into Christianity, it's the complete opposite, or it's just very distinct in that sense. So already Christianity is kind of pulling away from what all religions are saying. And that kind of gives you a good ground to start looking to Christianity and say, okay, is there anything more to Christianity? And when you look at who Jesus is, you come to realize that a lot of what he said, he actually backs up. So for instance, he said he'll rise again 3 days later, you know, as part of his life, death, and resurrection. And there's good evidence to show that he did rise again. The resurrection is true. And that therefore confirms that you can trust what Jesus is saying. And there are other things where what the Bible says about who God is actually quite distinct to what other world religions say. So if you read like the Vedic texts or the Bhagavad Gita or Hinduism, there are stuff that it talks about God, but it's not really, you can't really understand in a succinct way who God is. Or in Islam, you get a God who, you know, he's revealed himself, as in the sense that Muhammad tells you things about God, but Allah is a God that's quite far and personal. And you compare Allah to God the Father, God revealed in the Bible, and you can see that there's a massive difference. Like, you know, God is, as a creator, he comes to us in this personal and loving relationship that you can have with God through Jesus. So there are just things that, as you look into Christianity, that kind of makes you realize there's good foundations here. And then as you start to look into other world religions, I mean, I'm not here to knock other world religions, but as you start to look into them and start to look at the claims they make, you do start to think, okay, something quite hard up with my experience of life, and things like that. So I think that's a good way to start. It's just to look at what Jesus says and the claims in the Bible, and you start to realize that it does give you a good framework of how to understand the world, how to understand how you should live. It gives you the assurance of what will happen to you, you know, after you die. You know, you have that assurance that you will resurrect with Jesus. There's no other world religion promises that. And so it's just claims that are very kind of concrete and different. And that's what I would say, is that Christianity is very different to the other world religions.